Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 2 of Feast of Tabernacles. This paper is found in the calendar menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Click the drop-down arrow to open the menu.
We continue our study on the Feast of Tabernacles, where Yahweh has Joel warn the children of Israel of the coming invasion and punishment. The husbandmen and vine dressers described are the priests and rulers who have become apostate and neglected their duties as watchmen guarding the flock. The fall holy days are symbolic of the end times, and we see in Joel the blowing of the trumpet in Zion, representing the Feast of Trumpets, sanctify a fast, representing the Day of Atonement, call a solemn assembly, representing the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. It's all culminating in warning and preparation for what's to come. Joel 1:14, sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly, a meeting of holiness and set apartness. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh your Elohim, and cry unto Yahweh, alas, for the day! For the day of Yahweh is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Isaiah 13:6, howl ye, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Jeremiah 30:7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be delivered out of it. Judgment has been decreed by Yahweh. The punishment is coming regardless. This was a call to trim their lamps, repent, and get right with Yahweh, that one may receive mercy in order to be preserved and survive the punishment when it does come. These national punishments came in the form of the Babylonian and Assyrian invasions and deportations. Joel 2:1.
Blow you the shofar in Zion.
The Feast of Trumpets.
And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes.
The last great day,
for it is near at hand. Blow the shofar in Zion, sanctify a fast.
The Day of Atonement.
Call a solemn assembly.
The Feast of Tabernacles.
Gather the people, sanctify the congregation.
The Kahal.
Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet.
This is a dual prophecy, that of Joel's time, when Yahweh sent the Assyrians against Israel, and the end times, when Yahweh will send the reapers and take out the trash. The fall holy days are the last call for all Kahal. Kahal being the congregation, H 6951. When we submit to Yahweh in obedience and observe His appointed days, then we will be shown mercy in punishment and in the end times. We are protected by His propitiatory shelter. We tabernacle in safety with Christ, the whole purpose and meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. We still need this propitiatory shelter today, and by observing the Feast of Tabernacles, we prove to Yahweh that we understand and remember His holy days. Nobody is saved yet. The churches are dwelling in their own pews on the day of the sun god in pagan tabernacles of untempered mortar. 33,000 denominations of Haimi Jesus worshiping pork-eating little pagan pigs being devoured by Jewish wolves that easily blow their houses down. The same symbology continues in Amos. The end of the northern kingdom of Israel because of their apostasy. Another last call for all Kahal. The fall holy days are summarized in the warnings to Israel to repent in the Feast of Trumpets, to return to Yahweh and atone in the Day of Atonement, and be protected in the Feast of Tabernacles during the Day of Yahweh, the last great day. For most of Israel, there was no escaping the coming punishment. Most would be slain or taken captive. Amos 5:20.
Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. I will not delight in your solemn assemblies.
The people turned Yahweh's holy days into their own interpretations, sacrificing to idols, and defiling the feast days and solemn assemblies. The same thing occurs in today's churches. They threw out his law, the food laws, and 6 of the 7 feast days, because they only observe Passover. But on the wrong day, in the wrong way, and to a Jewish Jesus. Yes, Yahweh despises their assemblies of unholiness and ignorance. Holiness means set-apartness. Set apart from what? Jews and the other races. Yet, the churches worship Jews and fellowship with other races. Yahweh's set-apart people are not so set apart when we do not follow his laws of segregation. Yes, Yahweh demands that we be separate from them. The churches teach universalism. The Jews teach strength in diversity and open our borders to all races and cry for equality, when Yahweh did not make us all equal or promise the other races anything. Yahweh told Jonah to warn Nineveh of their unrighteousness. Nineveh was an Assyrian city. The Assyrians were not Israelites, but they were Adamic kinsmen to Israel and pagan. Jonah did not want to warn the Ninevites because the Assyrians were at that time becoming a great superpower and threatening the existence of Israel and Judah. But Jonah eventually did as he was commanded, and the king of Nineveh issued a proclamation demanding his people to repent, and they did. Jonah was not pleased. Jonah 4:4. Then said Yahweh,
"Do you well to be angry?"
So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And Yahweh Elohim prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. When the gourd withered and the sun beat down upon Jonah, he was angry for the gourd and wished to die. The symbolism is the fall holy days. The warning from Jonah sent by Yahweh represents the trumpets. Repent and change your ways, representing the Day of Atonement, and dwell in safety, representing the Feast of Tabernacles. The gourd that sheltered Jonah is symbolic of the Assyrians, which later deported nearly all of Judah and Israel and took them captive for their own good. And then, like the gourd, Assyria also withered. There is safety and shelter, or tabernacle, when we obey. Nahum is the sequel to the book of Jonah. Its theme is the burden of Nineveh. In the book of Jonah, we learn of its wickedness and reformation as a result of the preaching of Jonah. We now see that Nineveh's reformation was not maintained, and in the time of Nahum, some 50 years later, its evil brought misery to the ancient world. Nahum's prophecy is to foretell the vengeance which Yahweh will take against the Assyrians for their destruction of Israel and Judah. Nahum 1:7. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that seek refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his hated enemies. Nahum is referring to the children of Israel who are obedient to Yahweh, that they would be looked after by him. He is a stronghold in a day of trouble, and by keeping his ways they would abide his anger. Verse 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep your solemn feasts, your sacred celebrations, perform your vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through you, he is utterly cut off. The wicked referred to here is a reference to the Assyrians, who were pagans and therefore adversaries of Yahweh. They were used to punish the unrighteous of Israel. Again, the same symbology. Keep your solemn feasts and obey Yahweh, and he will be your shelter, your tabernacle. The whole purpose of observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Zephaniah 1:14. The great day of Yahweh is near, it is near, and hurrying greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers.
And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their bowels as the dung.
The great day of Yahweh here is a reference to the judgment which is about to come upon Judah by the hand of the Babylonians as a result of their sin. They didn't heed the sound of the trumpet. They didn't atone. They didn't tabernacle in righteousness. And now they will experience the last great day of life as they know it. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the land unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Mitzrayim go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Mitzrayim, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Egypt is symbolic of captivity. The family of Egypt is a reference to the children of Jacob who came out of captivity from there. The circle of relatives and all nations that shall go up to Jerusalem to worship the king are all the nations of the tribes of Jacob. Many Judahites of the house of Judah also dwelt in Egypt, as attested to in the Maccabees. This is not talking about every nation and race in the world. The other races were not permitted to enter the temple grounds because it was for Israelites and Adamites. Even though the Edomite Jews had usurped control of the priesthood and Judea at the time, they still enforced the exclusivity because they posed as Israelites. The references of Isaiah and Joel back this up, as they attest that only the redeemed shall walk there, and no strangers. Jonathan becomes high priest, 1 Maccabees 10:21. So in the seventh month of the 160th year, At the Feast of Tabernacles, Jonathan put on the holy robe and gathered together forces and provided much armor. This was 152 BC. A letter to the Judahites in Egypt, 2 Maccabees 1:1. The brethren, the Judahites that be at Jerusalem and in the land of Judea, wish unto the brethren, the Judahites that are throughout Egypt, health and peace. Elohim be gracious unto you, and remember his covenant that he made with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, his trustworthy servants, and give you all a heart to serve him, and to do his will, with a good courage and a willing spirit, and open your hearts in his law and commandments, and send you peace, and hear your prayers, and be reconciled with you, and never forsake you in time of trouble. And now see that you keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the month of Ethanim. This was 124 BC. 2 Maccabees 10:6. And they kept the 8 days with gladness, as in the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering that not long afore they had held the Feast of Tabernacles, whenas they wandered in the mountains and dens like beasts. So we obviously see that Yahweh gave these appointed times and feast days for the children of Israel to follow and observe with gladness. They were commandments and were expected to be kept. The churches teach that these are Old Testament feast days of the Jews. But since the Jews are not Israelites, and the true Israelites are the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian peoples, our ancestors kept and observed these appointed times throughout history. But the churches still teach that these were done away with at the cross, and we don't have to do anything but just believe, and declare you're saved, and accept Jewish Jesus into your heart, because his grace is sufficient and God is love. That's all they know, because that's all they are taught. Well, let's not be so ignorant and gullible, and maybe we should examine what the New Testament has to teach us about our heritage, which the churches foolishly deny, because they don't know who they are or whose they are, because they identify as trans-Gentiles. They believe the Jews are Israelites, and worst of all, they worship a Jewish Jesus, which is the same thing as serving Satan. Since they don't do anything a true, knowledgeable Christian does, they've become Antichrist. If you didn't celebrate the 4th of July, didn't honor our country's forefathers, and didn't care about our people or history, wouldn't you be anti-patriotic?
Yes!
Concerning self-deception, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hosea 8:2,
Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know you.
Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? The Greek has the definite article the before day. It reads, many shall be declaring to me in that the day, Master, Master. Christ is referring to the last great day. Why would he be preaching to do his will? How do you claim to know him if you don't do what he says? Just believing is not doing. Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Feast of Tabernacles is a time of the ingathering of his remnant, those that will do his commands, When you don't do his commands, then you are working iniquity, especially if you are doing many wonderful works for Jaime Jesus. The purpose and meaning is to be tabernacling with fellow Christians under the safety of Yeshua from the satanic world outside, covered by his propitiatory tabernacle in these last days when judgment is coming. He goes on to say that, "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," meaning practices them, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain, wind, and floods could not beat it down, because Yeshua abode in it." 1 John 2:5, "But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as Yeshua walked." Abideth means to remain, continue, dwell. Forsaking the world for a week and abiding in tabernacles for a week is symbolic of abiding in safety with Christ from the dangers of the world and being prepared for the last great day, showing him you understand and trust in his commands and are prepared for what is coming. John 6:39, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he has given me I should destroy nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day," the last great day. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Yeshua is speaking of those who see him and believe on him. Seeing is G 2334, theorio, and means to view attentively, enjoy the presence of one, discern, to acknowledge, to experience, to perceive. Believe is G 4100, pistuo, and means to commit, to have allegiance in, upon, or with respect to. Seeing and believing means knowledge and understanding. How can you see and believe in Christ if you don't acknowledge or respect his appointed days? How can you accept him if you don't accept his feast days? These feast days have just as much meaning as Passover and should be kept. Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The whole reason why most so-called Christians don't keep these feasts, don't know him or what his word says, and follow 33,000 other doctrines and gospels, is because they are not drawn by the Father. They also believe they get to choose and accept him, when Scripture teaches that it is the other way around. He chooses you. John 7:2. "Now the Judeans' feast of tabernacles was at hand." G 1859, Heorte, is a feast day, a festival, a holy day. Tabernacles is G 4634, skenapegia, a verb meaning to tabernacle. The related words are G 4636, skenos, a noun, a tabernacle, a tent, the abode of the spirit, metaphorically of the fleshly body, in which the soul dwells as in a tent, and which is taken down at death. Another related word is G 4078, pegnumi, a verb which means to fix, to set up, a tent, to make fast, to fasten together. Another related word is G 4633, skene, a noun, a habitation, a tabernacle. There are tabernacles of death and evil. Acts 7:43 speaks of tabernacles of Moloch. Luke 16:9, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that, when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And tabernacles of life and righteousness, Hebrews 9:21. Moreover, Moshe sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. G 4632, skuos, is a vessel, implement, equipment, a contributing wife. We children of Jacob are the vessels of the ministry, the vessels of mercy in Romans, and the habitation of Yahweh. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of the sky saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim. Dwell is G4637, skenoo, to reside, to tent or encamp, figuratively, to occupy, a symbol of protection and communion. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the most beloved of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua's brothers did not believe in him and challenged him to prove himself by showing his works at the feast. John 7:8. Go you, speaking to his brethren, up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Yeshua at the festival of booths, verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Judeans sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. Rivers of living water, John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. We see Yeshua observing the Feast of Tabernacles. We also see mentioned the last day, that great day of the festival, which is a reference to the eighth day, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is symbolic of the last chance to get right with Yahweh. Christ was giving a sermon on the meaning of the last great day. The context is the Holy Spirit encompassing those who believe on him and follow him. How can you believe on him if you don't do what he says and does? If you don't follow what he did? If you don't keep his traditions and heritage, which are your traditions and heritage, because you are of the same Israelite household family? In order for the Holy Spirit to tabernacle with you, you must obey. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom Elohim has given to them that obey him. Ask yourself, what is better, fellowshipping with your kinsmen, worshiping and obeying Yahweh, and participating in your heritage, or marinating in your own pew on the day of the sun god, worshiping Haimi Jesus, waiting for the rapture with all the other goats? John 12:48, He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If you are not tabernacling with him, then you will be judged on the last great day for not receiving his words, which is the same thing as rejecting him. Consider this. We have all these verses stating that these are appointed days to keep forever and ever, generation after generation. Where are the verses that state these appointed days were done away with, or were to end? Why do you keep only Passover? Consider this also. The spring feasts are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf and Feast of First Fruits, and Pentecost. The symbolism and meanings of these spring feasts were fulfilled by Yeshua Christ. Passover was the first advent and reminder that Christ died for the sins of the race of Adam. Unleavened bread is the reminder that Yahweh took our ancestors out of bondage and that leaven represents sin, which we must put out of our lives. The Feast of Weeks represents the raising of Christ from the dead and is also the countdown to Pentecost, which represents the soon-to-be Christians answering the call through the gospel and divine influence of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. All four of these holy feast days have been fulfilled as Christ died, rose, the gospel spread, and those who responded received the Holy Spirit. This is still being fulfilled as when one answers the call, they receive the Holy Spirit. The fall holy days have not been fulfilled yet. The Feast of Trumpets is a warning and preparation that Yeshua is returning, which is why we must continue in His word and appointed times. The Day of Atonement is a day of self-affliction and fasting from worldly things, a day of humbling ourselves and being repentant and cleansed with the blood of Christ, who is our propitiatory shelter from the penalty of our sins, so long as we continue in the way. The Feast of Tabernacles symbolizes dwelling with Christ in safety from the world. It's a remembrance of our ancestors in the wilderness with Yahweh tabernacling with them. It's a reminder that we are pilgrims in a foreign country. And the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which represents Judgment Day, the Second Advent, the consuming fire that is our Elohim. If you are tabernacling with Him, then you will be protected from the wrath and flaming fire of vengeance. Does anyone see that the gospel message is found in each of these feast days? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be you followers, meaning imitators, of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, meaning the traditions, as I delivered them unto you. Paul kept the feast days. Paul imitated Christ. Christ kept the feast days. If you identify as a trans-Gentile, then you are not aware of your true identity or your heritage, and therefore, you don't keep the traditions of your ancestors and these feast days. How can you imitate Christ if you don't imitate Paul or the traditions of our people? How can you be a Christian if you don't live the life of a Christian? A Christian is an Israelite with proper knowledge and understanding of the Word and their heritage, and lives a daily Christian life. The people in the churches are Christians by their own beliefs, not the belief. If they were true Christians, they would know who they are, whose they are, and they would understand that the buildings they worship in are pagan temples with Egyptian sun pillars with the symbol of Tammuz on top. All 33,000 denominations follow man-made doctrines and have been deceived into believing the Jews are Israelites and that Jesus is a Jew. In Colossians, Paul criticizes the commandments of men, the doctrines of men, the traditions of the elders. The doctrines of men and traditions of the elders is a reference to the false and unscriptural decrees of the Jews and today's churches. He mentions the assembly of the Laodiceans, which represent this last age we are now in. Paul is telling them, and us, to be certain that we understand who we are. He gives four warnings in this chapter. Warnings not to let any man, preacher, or church doctrine beguile you with enticing words. He exhorts that we not just believe, but that we also walk as Christ walked, established in the belief, as he taught. Warnings of being captivated by philosophy, the matters of this society, and doctrines of men. That we are freed from the dogmas of the traditions of the elders and 33,000 so-called Christian denominations when we circumcise our hearts and immerse ourselves in the truth of our history, heritage, and traditions, which when we follow we are also risen with him through the belief. His third warning is Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in food or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new months, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ, meaning the anointed group of Israelites. Paul's fourth warning is to beware of false teachers and doctrines which turn from the truth. Paul was speaking of the religious control through the added decrees and oblations of the Jew Pharisees. The same problem today where there are 33,000 versions of church doctrines, most of which say the laws were done away with, and these aren't feasts for the church to keep, but they'll keep Passover. The churches don't keep six of the seven feast days, just like they don't have on all the armor of God. They only have the helmet of salvation because that is the free gift of God, but you can't claim it unless you also have the truth,
not church truth,
and righteousness,
not your own declaration of being saved,
and the gospel Christ taught,
not the church's universalist message,
and the faith, which is the belief,
not 33,000 versions of false beliefs.
It matters who and what you believe. The context here in Colossians and the references in Matthew and Romans is about doubtful disputations that divide the brethren. We are not to judge or condemn our people when they don't do what we believe Scripture tells us to do. For example, the churches teach the food laws were done away with, and God made the unclean animals clean, and we shouldn't call anything God cleansed unclean. But those verses are not about animals or food. They are about men, the lost and scattered Israelites who forgot who they were and whose they were. If the churches would only read a few more verses and stop thinking about bacon, they'd see it. And for example, the topic of these feast days, the churches don't keep them because they identify as Gentiles, and that these are Jewish feasts. But they have been fooled into identity theft, and bought the lie that the Jews are Israelites, and so our people now identify as trans-Gentiles. When in reality, we are the true Israelites, and these are our feasts, and they have special symbolisms and meanings, and are commanded to be observed. So rather than be divisive, all we can do is witness to them, try to educate our kinsmen more perfectly in the Word of God, to pray for them, and to set a good example for them. If Yahweh wants them to see, then he'll draw them in. If not, dust off your feet and fish for more. He's not going to draw those who will not follow and continue in his Word. Are you going to hell if you don't observe these feasts? Hard to say. Are you doing anything Yahweh asks or commands? Do you even know what he requires of you? Surely you don't think you please him by just believing. Just how do you show your belief? In the ways you think are right, or in the ways he appointed that are right? 2 Peter 2:4. For if Elohim spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the society of the ungodly. Job 4:17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he puts no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. The angels left their habitations, their dwelling place with Yahweh, to do their own foolish desires, to boast and to glory in their own celebrations and errors. Just as the churches don't tabernacle with Yahweh, they boast of their own self-proclaimed salvation in a Jewish Jesus, and not doing anything Christ commanded, and they celebrate the Lord Baal in their pagan temples, which are identified by the sun pillar steeples. They know not that they too are reserved in ignorance unto the judgment of the great day, when they realize that they never abode under the propitiatory shelter of Yeshua Christ. They've been abiding under a sugar-coated lie. Noah was the 10th patriarch from Adam and the 8th preacher of righteousness. He was protected in the ark because he obeyed Yahweh, protected from the destruction and wrath of Yahweh. The symbolism is the same as tabernacles. Nobody believed Noah, the 8th watchman of Yahweh, warning the people of their unrighteousness and the coming judgment. Can you see the similarity? Revelation 6:17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. This is referring to the fall of Rome, but it's also referring to Judgment Day, the last great day. If you are tabernacling, then you'll be fine. Revelation 17:11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goes into perdition. The 8th beast is Mystery Babylon, the Jewish matrix of deceit, the international banking cabal, the medical mafia, the UN. When this beast system and last age ends, will you be destroyed with it, or will you be tabernacling and prepared for the last great day? Why do you think Yahweh's messengers say, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues"? All he is asking is for you to honor the symbolism and commandment and memorial by observing the Feast of Tabernacles 1 week a year. He loves you, and he wants you to be prepared and ready for the last great day. You can't do that by just believing and being a good person. The book of 2 Esdras relates the history of Israel from the Passover celebration in the time of Josiah, 621 BC, and ending with the public reading of the law by Ezra in 444 BC. Ezra is shown visions and given insight of future Israelites. In chapter 1, Yahweh tells Ezra to declare to his people their evil deeds and tell their children the iniquities they committed against him, so they may tell their children's children of the sins of their parents, that they have forgotten him and his commands, and became idolaters and race-mixing whores, that Yahweh has done everything for them, and mentions that he even covered them with the leaves of trees, which is a reference to tabernacles. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, Yahweh was with them and kept them safe, which is why Feast of Tabernacles is a festival of remembrance and a commandment to observe. Yahweh also wants them and us to know that, 2 Esdras 1:27, it is not as though you have forsaken me, you have forsaken yourselves, says Yahweh. Yahweh then tells Ezra to tell the people that he will give their descendants that come after them, who, without having heard him, will believe, And even though they will not see or hear the signs their parents witnessed, the later generations will do what he has commanded. Yahweh is speaking of the lost Israelites that will respond to the gospel and have gratitude and believe without seeing, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet, believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The B.C. Israelites forgot Yahweh and his laws and appointed days, and became pagan whores, which is why he divorced them and cast them off into punishment. He withdrew his presence from them because they have despised his covenant. 2 Esdras 2:1. Thus says Yahweh,
I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them commandments through my servants, the prophets. But they would not listen to them, and made my counsels void. Moreover, I will take back to myself their glory, and will give to their children the everlasting tabernacles which I had prepared for Yisrael.
Yahweh is talking about our incorruptible bodies. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Mansions. The Greek word is mone, meaning a staying, the act or the place, abode. It comes from meno, a primary verb, to stay, in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, continue, endure, stand. The churches teach that when you are raptured, you will stay in a mansion in the sky somewhere. The word does not mean a mansion, as a building or physical place. A mansion is a noun. The Greek word is a verb. The King James Version is notorious for changing nouns into verbs and vice versa. The word place is topos. It refers to a space, a locality, a position, a condition, an opportunity, a territory. It has to do with our position of sons and daughters, our Shekinah glory, our tabernacle, which houses our spirit and that can be inhabited by Yeshua. This isn't talking about a neighborhood with stacked out condominiums in the clouds where all the Judeo-Christians go. If we pass this test in this mortal life by tabernacling with Yeshua Christ during it, we will have a place, a relation, a position in the kingdom, our eternal abode. Our bodies are a temple, a tabernacle. Yeshua can abide with us and tabernacle with us when we obey and follow his ways, including these feast days, which have meaning and purpose, and by observing them we show that we truly believe because we do what he said and walk as he walked. Consider that Yeshua did not dwell in houses. He dwelt in the wilderness. Why? Because he tabernacled with the Father outside of the satanic society. He only asks that we do this for 1 week a year. The last great day, 2 Esdras 2:33, I, Ezra, received a command from Yahweh on Mount Horeb to go to Yisrael. When I came to them, they rejected me and refused Yahweh's commandment. Therefore, I say unto you, O nations that hear and understand, await your shepherd. He will give you everlasting rest, because he who will come at the end of the age is close at hand. Matthew 11:15. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. 2 Esdras 2:35. Be ready for the rewards of the kingdom. because the eternal light will shine upon you forevermore. Flee from the shadow of this age. Receive the joy of your glory. I publicly call on my Savior to witness. Receive what Yahweh has entrusted to you and be joyful, giving thanks to Him who has called you to heavenly kingdoms. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Verse 38 of 2 Esdras. Rise and stand, and see at the feast of Yahweh the number of those who have been sealed. Speaking of the feast of the last great day, the wedding feast. Revelation 7:1. And after these things I saw four messengers standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another messenger ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Yisrael. The verses go on to name the tribes of Jacob Israel. No one else is named, called, or sealed. No other races, not the Jews, not the church, and not those who just believe. If you are an Anglo-Saxon Israelite, rejoice. This is talking about you. Continuing in 2 Esdras 2:39, those who have departed from the shadow of this age have received glorious garments from Yahweh. Take again your full number, O Zion, and conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of Yahweh. How can you depart from the shadow of this age?
The rapture?
No. By tabernacling with Yahweh on His appointed days. How can you be on the list of people clothed in white?
Accepting Jewish Jesus and just believing?
No. By fulfilling the law of Yahweh, which includes keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and all His laws. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Abide is G3306, meno. It means to remain, dwell, continue. It's the same word that's related to mansions. But we're not talking about the Judeo suburbs in the clouds, where all the saved Jaime Jesus worshipping fools think they are going to live in mansions with all-you-can-eat pork ribs. We're talking about tabernacles, our bodies, which are temples for the living God to make His abode. The kingdom will be here on earth, not in the sky. The feast days are directly related to the female gestation cycle. Day 197 is the Feast of Tabernacles on the Hebrew calendar. It represents viability ex utero. The final stage before birth is the viability stage. The Feast of Tabernacles is also called the Feast of Booths, meaning living outside in tents. It represents the baby's ability to live outside the womb. The child is capable of breathing air. He or she is a fully developed tabernacle and can be born. That child must be an obedient follower of Christ in order for Yeshua to tabernacle with him or her and keep him or her safe from the satanic world he or she was just born into. How do you celebrate now that you realize that the Feast of Tabernacles is an appointed observance for the anointed people of Yahweh Elohim to keep in memory, observe, and guard throughout all our generations, and is a statute forever? First, you must know what day these Hebrew months and days are on the Gregorian calendar. You can learn and find out about the Hebrew Solan calendar
by going to the links provided on the paper.
Now you must first get on neutral ground with Yahweh, especially if you did not observe the Day of Atonement, which was 5 days before the Feast of Tabernacles. The Day of Atonement is a day of fasting from food, water, and worldly things, like TV, shopping, working for money, fleshly desires. And it's a time to humble yourself. You can't bring a goat to the priest for an atonement to cover your sins anymore. You must sacrifice yourself spiritually to Yeshua Christ, meaning repent, ask for forgiveness for all your errors, ask for knowledge and understanding, and start following the way. Now you can set up your tabernacle for Yeshua to tabernacle with you. It's really simple. It's basically camping. Invite like-minded friends and family. Set up in your backyard, on your roof, if it's flat, or if you have a deck, or reserve a campground site. You can even sleep in your camper if you have one. You gather all your wood, food, water, and camping gear and get it all prepared and set up before the 15th day of the 7th month. This is because not only is the 15th a Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath, a holy convocation, because it is the first day of the feast. You can put sticks and branches over your tents, too. The idea is to set up your own tabernacle and camp out all week. If you can't because of physical problems, or you just simply don't want to sleep in a tent all week, then you're going to hell. Just joking. At least set up the tent and hang out in it a few times a day, fellowship in it, nap in it, pray in it, think about Yahweh in it. Be mindful that it represents Yahweh taking our ancestors by the hand out of Egypt and journeying with them in the wilderness and tabernacling among them during those 40 years. It symbolizes dwelling with Yahweh in safety from the bondage of this world and from sin, and that we are foreigners and pilgrims in the earth, seeking the coming kingdom. The rest of the week should be all about fellowship, study, Bible reading, prayer, feasting, and praising Yahweh. Read Exodus together. Get the kids involved. They love camping.
Yeah!
Be mindful of the last great day, the last day of the feast, the 8th day, which is a high Shabbat, and it symbolizes the last chance to get right with God before Yeshua returns in flaming fire. Now you are ready for Christ to return and find you doing, and in doing so, you will be protected and delivered on the last great day, which is connected to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is connected to the Day of Atonement, which is connected to the Feast of Trumpets, which is connected to Pentecost, which is connected to the Feast of Weeks, which is connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is connected to Passover, all of which is part of the gospel message. This Feast of Tabernacles study is part of the Feast Day Study Series. Did you miss the spring feasts? Don't worry, there's always next year, maybe. Get a head start and learn about them with the links provided on the paper.